Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast. This is episode number 20, and as always, I have my special co-host, Rockstar, Special K.
Special? Actually, are you trying Michael to say I'm fat? So you're calling me fat, aren't you? I have been working out.
It's on your label. Maybe that's why you are special now. You are no longer Michael Kimsel. You are Special K.
Yes, there I go. So, okay, yes. So
we are going to start our podcast. As always, I can, needless to ask you how you are doing, because I can see that you are doing fine as usual.
Well,
probably it's hotter than the previous months, right?
It is hot here?
I mean the temperature.
Oh, it's hot here, all right. But it's temperature-wise, it's up there as well too. Out here in sunny Raleigh, which I would turn the thing out there. But you know what Raleigh looks like? Just Google it. It's fine. Yeah. So yeah. I never ask how you're doing. So let me turn around and ask how you're doing before I tell how I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, that's a kind of a different question. Well, I've been working a lot. Probably that's not nothing new, but I've been working a lot more than usual and staying up later than usual just to develop some new features that I've been working on for the classes site. But I'll get back to that later because I want to comment on those features that I think they are important to comment here when you get more closer to talk about the latest, latest objects published in the JS Classic site. And
That's how you say it.
So we are going to move on with the podcast as usual. And this time, maybe you should start with a topic that you proposed, right, about jQuery Bootstrap validation.
But just slow down. Before that, I was just being polite, asking how you are. But I'm still going to say how I am, because you asked me that before, and it would be impolite of me to ignore your question. So on that, with that setup, which was quite casual and unrehearsed, take two, I've been working and I've been busy. I also, a few things. I haven't done one of my audio podcasts. We've been doing a video for a bit for Web Dev Radio. It is coming up onto year 7. Now, I used to do these every couple of weeks or so, and I've slowed down in my old age. But July 4th or July 5th, 2005, was the very first one. So we are coming up sometime next week. It's going to be year 7. So I'm doing sort of a pre-birthday podcast after this, just for everybody. Hello, thank you. Go listen to Web Dev Radio. But outside of that, I was at CodeStock a couple weeks ago, speaking at CodeStock, which is a very awesome code conference in Knoxville, Tennessee, about 6 hours east of here. And I gave two presentations to you, those of you in Europe. I give two presentations, one on freelancing. There was a few there on people who are freelancers and describing how they find work, what their work day is, and so on. And I also did one on Twitter Bootstrap. I don't think I did the Twitter Bootstrap one very well. I got a couple of not horrible reviews, but people were looking for more live coding, I think, and given that it's code stock, and I didn't do enough of that. So to anybody who's watching this, that watched that presentation, I'm sorry. It was standing room only in that room, but mostly because they put me in the tiniest room that only held about like 15 people or so. Actually, I held about 20. So that was, I think, the third time I'd given that talk, and it was better. Those of you who didn't like it then at CodeStock, you should have seen it 2 months ago. But it was good. I think it was okay as an introduction, but there's certainly a lot more that I think people want. That's the one good thing I got from that, is people are asking some good questions. How do you do this? How do you do this? How do you do this? So I will take that and incorporate it. But if you haven't used Twitter Bootstrap yet, you should use Twitter Bootstrap because it's pretty awesome. Okay, yeah. So that's how I've been doing. I saw some family. I saw some of my family in Tennessee, which was nice. Just a couple of days and relaxed, and then I came back to the grind, and I'm still grinding. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I can see you have been very, very busy, and that's good because it's better than not being any busy at all. And
yes.
But I was sort of introducing one first topic that you thought it would be interesting to mention. I'm not sure if it's somewhat related with your talk.
Well, because I wish it had
bootstrap
been.
In the name.
Yes. As a matter of fact, this was something I meant to demonstrate in my talk, and I didn't. And this is an example. It's certainly not the only one, but this is something called JQ Bootstrap Validation. This is a jQuery plugin designed for Twitter Bootstrap. I'm going to try to show this and share the screen. Now, my bandwidth has been a little on the slow side, but let's see if I can do...
Yeah.
Okay, I've got that up, and I'm going to come back here and say, screen share. I won't say it like that, but you know what I mean. Share selected window. screen share! Look at that, I did it again. I did it again. Now, do you see that there?
Oh, damn.
Do you see the screen?
It would be better if you could somehow increase the font or plus.
That might use more bandwidth, but okay. Is that better?
Yeah, it improved a bit, but okay. It's still blurred, but never mind. It's not possible to do miracles with the limitations of resolution of the...
You just hate Macintosh, don't you?
Video.
You're pro-Linux and anti-Mac.
It's Google problem this
time. It's been evident since day one. My goodness, your agenda just never...
Never
is
mentioned
always
anything
anti-Mac.
With Macs.
Right. Okay. Well, I think the screen's too fat. Could you make it a little thinner, please? Okay. So here is JQ Bootstrap Validation. Just an idea or an example of what you can do. See if you can see that. That's a red outline. If I can type in special k@gmail.com, it suddenly says it changes and says that email address. We can contact you. But down here, my other email. Needs to be the same, so I can go up there, and you can see as I'm toggling between these, it's doing some color feedback and some textual feedback. Now, color feedback is nice, it's useful, shouldn't be the only thing you rely on from a lot of usability, some usability situations that you can get into. People can't see color very well, can't make out color. Somebody might be looking at using a black and white monitor, for goodness sake. You don't know. Not everybody has color all the time. So things like that, you change the text as well down here. See down here, you can. It says it's telling you to choose two, and when I choose two, it does that. If I try to choose three, it says you can't have that. There's a couple other examples of validators, numbers, if something is required, and it shows you the code for each of these. And if you've done any recent Bootstrap, you'll notice here they're using the same class, the control groups and control labels. They're doing all the standard Bootstrap stuff, and then have the validator. You're attaching the validators on there, so. It's pretty nice. I have played with it some. I haven't put it in a project yet, but much like the rest of Bootstrap, when I show it to clients, generally the first thing out of their mouth is, oh, that looks nice and clean. In some ways it looks boring, and the anti-Bootstrap crowd, I think, has kind of gotten tired or overloaded with so many Bootstrap sites. And we need to, I think, be a little careful of that and maybe not throw things away too quickly, because I've got six projects right now, and I'm putting Bootstrap on many of them. The clients that I'm doing this for, they don't see the other projects. They don't see 50 Bootstrap sites a day. They just see that, gosh, their site looks nice and clean, and it has responsive adjustments to it and all that kind of stuff. So it's lightweight, clean. We can style it more if we want. But there's a lot of nice little things that I like about Bootstrap in general, and it's plugins like this that make things even nicer to work with. So that's kind of my Bootstrap plug, but that plugin was something I've come across in the past few weeks that I'm going to be integrating and I thought was nice. Carry on.
Yeah. Well, I had one question. So basically, it inserts the validation rules. I mean, it requires that the validation rules be in the HTML. Is that the way it works?
It looks for. It's got data. Some of the data attributes. So, I don't know if I can share the screen again. Let me see if I can do that. Screen share. I'll do it like that again. Share selected window. Do you see this again? So it tells you here that for the max length equals 10, it will use that HTML attribute for part of the validator, but you can also add a data validation max length message. If we look at the code for required, we just have a required attribute on here, and then data validation required message down there. Number,
yeah.
Code, type, input type equals number. So instead of text or file or something like that, you're going to put number and then a data attribute. So it's email, input type equals email. So that's how it's
so
doing
that's,
it.
That, so that, well, sort of validation or input constraints is implemented with the JavaScript library, right?
Yes, it's jQuery, yes.
And well,
would something like that?
Well, for
go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering if it would be a good practice to mix a presentation with a. With the presentation logic, with the application logic. But in the end, that's the final HTML that the server-side application will probably generate.
Yeah.
And the actual separation would have to happen on the server side. In the client side, somewhat things have to mingle, if I can put it that way. And you have been using that library.
I have played around with it. I have not used it. I have not used it in production yet. I plan to on a redesign of a project that I'm on and an upgrade to a current project. So I'm bootstrapifying one existing project and I'm creating a new one that I'm starting with Bootstrap. So I'm going to be using that as some basic validation UI stuff, unless I run into some major problems. But I don't foresee any right now.
Yeah. Well, in general, since we have been doing applications web applications for many years, and most of the logic is decided on the server side,
mm-hmm.
most if not all, we already have our components to generate HTML, JavaScript, and whatever to implement whatever logic needs to also happen in the browser side. So whatever components we are using today on the server side, to take advantage of that library, we would have to integrate them with library provides.
If you're already doing, if you already have something, you already have server-side components that generate this sort of stuff, or if you're already doing client-side stuff and you've already got validators, you probably don't need something like that. This is just another implementation of it. It just happens to integrate nicely with and use some of the same stylings and control names as the Bootstrap framework. So if you're starting from scratch with Bootstrap, this is a nice thing to have. If you've already got stuff and you're already dealing with this other ways, you already have maybe your own client-side validators, replacing it with this probably isn't going to get you anything nice. I just happen to like the kind of simplicity of it. It goes back a little bit to the... the jQuery, and I wish I wasn't such a jQuery fanboy these days. I'm turning into one, or I am one. I did this mobile app a couple months ago, and I looked at Sentia, I looked at EXTJS, I looked at jQuery Mobile, and the fact is I already had a basic prototype working, which I could enhance with jQuery Mobile far easier than introducing what seemed like all of the baggage. I don't want to say that in a negative way, but all of the overhead or all of the baggage of Sentia or EXTJS. They're different. Sentia used to be something else, or is Sentia Mobile, or is Sentia what EXTJS used to be?
Yeah, EXTJS.
It used to be EXTJS, and now it's Sentia? What did Sentia used to be?
Alzheimer is attacking you again.
I'm sorry. Anyway, there was a couple that I looked at, and they looked like they would actually solve a few more problems that I might have in the future, but it was so much easier to just take what I had and put some jQuery Mobile on top of that, much like many people take a basic static site and throw in some PHP, as opposed to saying, well, really, from an architecture standpoint, you should scrap it and start with Rails or start with .NET or start with Grails or Vaadin or something. I'm maybe throwing bad stuff on top and patching something that isn't good as a base, but it was very seductive, and I just felt a lot more productive doing basic stuff with jQuery Mobile. And another reason why something like jQuery Bootstrap validation lets me take what I have already and just do these small, minor, progressive enhancements little by little, as opposed to like starting over from scratch with GWT or something, which would generate all that, or Cold Fusion, which has really nice declarative tags, which will generate all the client-side validators for you.
Oh, no. Please,
does. It does. Good. Hey, I'm not dissing on Cold Fusion. I love Cold Fusion.
Far in the past. Okay. Let's not be that much nostalgic. Anyway,
it's still going on. Let's move on. But don't diss the Cold Fusion. Don't diss the CF. It's still going on. Topic two.
Well,
Manuel.
Well, right. Moving on with the podcast, I wanted to try to demonstrate something there about this new, well, maybe not so new, but it is being claimed to be a good thing, at least by the authors, which is what you see is what you get, editor. Apparently taking advantage of HTML5 features. I did not find it so much different than usual, except for one feature. I'm not sure if I'm able to demonstrate, because this Hangout is taking so much CPU that I'm not sure if there will be any CPU and bandwidth left to demonstrate it, but I can try. Basically, I'm showing here. I hope you can see it well.
I can. Yes.
This okay. That's great. This editor, which is a regular HTML editor, and has some buttons on the top, which should be a toolbar. And there is a special one that can insert
speech
sampled from the user machine and eventually translated with some Google API, I suppose. I'm trying to use it here, but I'm not sure if this will work well.
It might not be able to take an audio, because you're already doing audio on this recording.
That makes sense. That may be why that nothing is happening. Oh, damn.
The phone is too logical.
So I'm not going to be able to. Yeah, I'm not going to be. I thought this would be a multitasking machine that would be able to sample audio
Linux
for different applications. But it's Windows. Now that you mention it, makes sense. I'm using the microphone to actually record. But well, anyway, the information that I wanted to show, actually the feature that I wanted to show, is the. It would be able to sample some audio for
any audio
as well. You are.
I think you mean like speech, not just like Bee Gees or something.
Speech.
You can't tell. Well, I'm not just use my walk. I'm a woman's man. No time to talk.
Like that. Did you sample that? I can give you another sample if you want.
No.
The browser didn't even get it. Windows.
Yeah. No, it doesn't get. It's too slow here, and probably for the reason that you mentioned, I would not be able to demonstrate it anyhow. But it seemed to work well for English words, because I suppose that's what it supports. It's not. I suppose it's not exactly the editor itself that does that. It's some Google API, that is used.
Mine's working. Mine's working. I'm not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker's mate. I'm going to demonstrate that. See? Let me screen share. Cancel your screen share. Share your... Yeah. Time out. Yeah. Just sit down. Nobody gets hurt.
I've canceled it, but it's...
It's Windows!
It's slow to react.
It's Brazilian Windows. How many is in a Brazilian, anyway? Ooh. Sorry. That was a George Bush joke from some time ago.
I guess what he said.
Oh, you didn't hear that one? That was somebody came up to George Bush at one of his state dinners, and they kind of pulled him aside and said, "Sir, three Brazilian soldiers have been killed in Iraq." And he says, "That's horrible. How many's in a Brazilian?" Okay, can you see my screen up now? Oh my God, have I offended you,
Manuel? But for some reason, I'm not able to stop my own screen sharing.
Maybe if you just stop altogether. Maybe if you just leave this one-horse town. Oh, there you are. There you are. Ooh. Okay. So let me start my screen share.
I think Google has been messing up with the Hangout plugins recently, and some things are not working very well. But okay, never mind. I already stopped my screen sharing. Go ahead.
Okay. So I need to stop my screen sharing now and do that. Okay. I'm going to do this, and then I got to find... There we go, because I had this up twice. Okay, can you see my Chrome up? Do you see that? Make that a little bigger, maybe. You see that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Now, if I press this, it's going to... Now, what I understand is happening is actually sending the audio back to Google. I've only ever seen this work in Chrome so far. But if I do this and say, oh, my God, don't tell me now it's not working. What the heck? Why is this? What? Hang on. There we go.
With screen sharing?
No. I think it's... I think it's because it had that fork there. Let me do that. Let me do that. Let me do that. I'm not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker's mate. Oh, and then it inserted it. It should have inserted it someplace. Let me try it again.
You need to place the carrot in
I'm not a pheasant plucker. Yeah. I'm a pheasant plucker's mate. Wow. That was pretty close, but not quite. Try it again. It's not. Okay, click it down here, then click up here. That was close, comma, but no cigar, period. Wow. Okay. On that bombshell, there's speech input for you on Chrome. Were you seeing that?
Yeah, it's okay. A bit too small. Actually, for some reason, the screen, the focus did not go to your screen.
Oh.
I think I have too much background noise here. And
it went, well, it was showing it on my screen as shared, but do you want me to do it again? I can do it again. I'll try it one more time.
Well, no, it's just if you could show the result and try to increase the font as much as possible.
Well, the thing is, if I do it much more than this, then that fork me, that was taking precedence. When I clicked it, the click was going on that, not on the microphone. So I got this here. If I type, I've got that, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to do this and say, I'm clicking it, and it doesn't always take. I think, again, because that thing is there. If I click that, It's just not taking it all the time. Let's try this. I'm not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker's mate. Yeah. Do you see that?
Manuel. Oh, it is not a.
It's not showing it showing to you. What is going on? It's showing it to me. Just.
I don't.
Sorry. It's. I'm going to give you a URL to hit, and we can share that in the notes. That is the screenshot after I said my sentence. You can see what it said there. You could bring that up, maybe screen that, share that screen, or people would just see that in the notes, maybe. I don't know if they see that in the group chat afterwards. Anyhow, 1, 2, 3. Well, if you're talking, I can't hear you. We have officially just lost... Okay, I can see my video now. Can you hear me?
I can't hear. Sorry, the microphone deactivated because there is too much background noise here, and for some reason Hangouts is switching to my screen. But anyway, let me screen share it again.
I see it there.
So you can see it now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because, I see too much. I think.
Yeah. Because. Okay. Well, Google has been messing with Hangouts, and some things with screen sharing are not working as they should. Well, anyway, the point is just to show what this can do. Let me just try to share again, and so I can haze it from screen sharing because it's so messed up.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Maybe you should not try to do the screen sharing again. It ain't working out very well. Should I sing again while you're waiting?
I'm trying to leave the screen sharing. You want to get me back to the screen sharing as if I did not stop. Oh.
I see you on the screen
damn.
Share.
Now it stopped my video.
Musical interlude. Oh, damn. Okay, I still see your screen share. 1, 2, 3.
It doesn't want to leave my screen share. Well, anyway, I'm not important. If it doesn't leave the screen share, I'll keep talking and to present the next.
Yeah, go on. Let's move on to balloons. EO. Is that balloons.io, like Captain EO?
Cause it's a thriller.
Well, actually, moving on to that topic, it's basically balloons.io is. Let me see if you can you see it now?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Is it
lovely?
Okay,
that is sexy.
Let's make some progress here. Well, basically, this is a. I think let me try to reduce the screen here because it is it was clipping on the edges. But basically, this is a framework, or maybe an application. I'm not sure which would be the right name to call it. To provide a chat system based on Node.js on the server side, and other libraries like the Express framework and Socket.io, and also Redis for storage. And this looked like an interesting complete application to implement a chat system that would be scalable. I did not try it in practice, but it looked interesting enough to mention on this podcast.
Cool.
And I don't know if you had a look at it, what were your impressions?
I haven't run it. I haven't run much Node stuff in the past few months. But you know, my initial impression is that it looks nice, visually appealing. Whether it's actually going to, it's probably going to work okay at the loads that I would need a chat server at, and not them saying, well, it's not scalable, so I'm not going to use it. I actually have one need for a chat system at some point, but I'm probably going to be doing that in Java because the rest of the app's going to be in Java. So, certainly not questioning, yeah. Oh, why would you use this? It serves their purpose, and it's probably a great piece of software. Just not going to be on my server. You know what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, we never know if we need a chat system that will be scalable.
That's not to say that
you may not want to try to develop one from scratch and try this one.
Oh, no. There's good chat servers written in a lot of languages. I'm sure the async aspect of Node probably makes it better suited for some of that, but a lot of people can write basic stateful stuff in PHP or Python or Ruby or Java or .NET or whatever. And in and of itself, the times when I would need a chat server, there's actually one coming up this summer maybe, I'm not comfortable enough to be integrating multiple different types of technologies together. I'd rather have one app or all the parts of the app using one language right now. That's more just a comfort level on my part, though if I had another 2 months on the project, I would probably want to explore something like this and probably probably Node and some other alternative things in more detail. But we always have these time pressures on where I end up needing to stick with, if not things that I know, at least languages and platforms that I know. I'm going to be looking at Atmosphere as a chat server, largely because there's a plugin for the framework I'm using already, and I think it'd be faster to do some customization there. Though this particular one in Node is probably, from a scalability standpoint, probably bigger or probably able to do more.
Yeah, it's also based on Redis, and the Redis, I don't know if you ever worked with Redis. I did not work, but I know it somewhat how it works. It's basically similar to Mcache, except that the keys can be stored persistently on some database. So it's still fast to access, but the key values, key pair values, are stored in also in a database. So if you need to shut down your server for some reason, when you restart it will still be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, anyway, moving on to the next topic, I just want to comment briefly about this jQuery++ library. I don't know if it would be right to call it jQuery something, because from what I understood, this is not so much about jQuery, what jQuery does, but it's more about what jQuery does not do. And it mentioned it, I don't know if probably it's not very easy to read on the screen that is shared, but it provides a lot of things that the authors thought it would be interesting to implement that jQuery does not implement or does not implement as well as they would like, and things like text ranges, mm-hmm. which I'm not sure if the jQuery does not implement, or I'm not a regular jQuery user, but I thought it would be interesting to comment on here just briefly, because sometimes people love jQuery, but they still miss something that probably is provided by this library. that is more like why I thought it would be interesting to comment here. I do not have much more detail to give than this because I only looked at it briefly, but I think it would be worth mentioning.
Well, I wanted to comment
you
a bit.
You did not to look at it either, right?
No, I'm looking at it right now, and I wanted to comment on something in it, and I am, for the life of me, I met this guy, and I cannot remember his name. I remember what he looked like. I don't mean this guy, Justin B. Meyer. I mean the guy whose name I can't remember. But this goes back to CodeStock a couple weeks ago. There was a presentation from, it's kind of a unique name, and some of you watching may recognize, you probably won't because I won't say his name, but he was from Microsoft, and he works on the IE10 team, or works on the IE team working on IE10. And he gave some, a couple of demonstrations of benchmarks, like benchmark code, saying, well, if you do this in Chrome looks faster than IE, but if you do this demo, IE looks faster than Chrome. And it wasn't, his point was, hey, not that IE is better, Chrome's better, but sometimes benchmarks that we look at are kind of stacked, and this is Microsoft kind of swinging back a little bit, saying, hey, you know, let's measure other things besides the looping over something 10,000 times. But what was interesting after he got through that, which I think he focused on that maybe a little too much, he went through a performance, don't do this, don't do this, and he went through things not to do in JavaScript, not specifically jQuery, just JavaScript code. If you do this, it's going to be slow. If you do this, it's going to be faster. Now, all of these, in almost all cases, you're looking at usually pretty small things, but when you do these in loops, they're going to be faster. Now, how this relates to what you're talking about, the jQuery++ link, is one of the things they mention. Where did it go? Speed up your app. Add fast fix to improve your app's overall performance. Now, fast fix is their speeds up event fix. Well, that's just speeding up event fix. I can't speak to exactly what FastFix is doing. It was interesting to me, though, to watch this presentation on just JavaScript access patterns, JavaScript usage patterns, and things like if you don't declare this variable in this loop, then JavaScript will go up the chain and try to find that same variable in a different scope until it finds it. If it keeps doing that, you're going to be walking the chain, walking the stack several times. And if you don't do it, then, or if you do this one other thing, then it will bypass maybe checking 7 or 8 or 10 levels of the stack every single time. Things like that. So I was kind of wondering if jQuery++ is rewriting or if they've tightened some of their code, or if they're doing some rewriting of some of the core jQuery code to be faster. I don't see that that's necessarily the case, but it might be that they're doing some of that anyway. Or if not, then maybe somebody else should. So I realize I just kind of threw that at you out of left field, but it was a very interesting talk. Opened my eyes about a lot of things.
Well, moving on with the podcast, actually, we had to restart the recording because it did not come out right. And but I'm going to continue from where I was going to go next, which is a topic on... before we start going to the regular section on the latest objects published on JS Classes site, I'd like to comment on certain features just made available in the latest days after the recording, actually before the recording, which is basically now there is a support to let the users, any user, not just contributors, to share information on social networks about the best content published on the site. And as you may see on the here, basically I'm showing a page on which users can let the site know about the social networks they are participating but currently only Facebook is supported, so you can link your JS Classes account to the Facebook account. So whenever there is some good content published on the site, you can actually see that content published on your timeline, so you have it shared with other users. Here below we have a list of options of all types of notifications, content that will be published on the user's timeline. And well, currently not all of these types of notifications are implemented, but soon they will all be ready to go live. Currently, only the support for notifying about new packages published by the person or notable packages published by the users or some other user are notified. Soon all other options will be implemented. Here on the page you may see there are two groups of options. One that is related with the participation of each user, and the options below is related with other content posted by other users, like other users' packages that are considered notable, or the innovation award results, which is not yet started, but hopefully it will be before the end of the year. And this is just one feature that was implemented recently, and I recommend to all users that would like to help making the site better to join in, go in the user options page of the site. There is a link on the right that says social networks, mm-hmm. and it arrives this page, so you can link your JS Classes account to the social networks account. For now, only Facebook is implemented, as I said before, but soon Twitter and other social networks will also be supported. Cool. So this is just an invitation for everybody else to help spreading about the great content that is posted on the site, because that will hopefully attract more users that will eventually post even more great content to the site. And given that, we are going now to move on to one of our regular sections on which we comment on the latest packages published on the JS Classes site. Fortunately, the initiative of the challenge for the Innovation Award is ramping up. As I mentioned in the previous episode, the goal is to reach 200 packages, and it is already reaching 77% of that goal. And the estimation to reach the goal is before the end of this year. And all this means that now you have many packages to comment about. It's going to be hard to be fair with all users that are posted with great JavaScript components. But we have to start somewhere, just comment on a few. I hope now the authors that we will not mention understand. But we try to give a fair chance to different authors to be mentioned. Michael, would you like to start with your recommendation?
Sure. Well, the first thing that caught my eye actually relates somewhat to the Balloons IO multi-room chat server we talked about before, and that is a recent. I'm trying to pull up. I got too many windows here. This is Little Chat. I'm going to say his name wrong. No, I'm going to say it right. Dixon Santiesteban from Cuba mentioned that before in the earlier version, that don't get many people from Cuba.
Would you like to take the chance to share the screen?
I'm doing it. It's just taking a moment here. So
if it doesn't crash.
Yeah, I'm sharing my screen. I hope it doesn't crash your screen. It's a very, very lightweight class. I'm going to pull this up here if I can. I clicked it, and we should be able to see the code here. Very lightweight class, doesn't do more than it needs to, and this strikes me as something that you could take and expand, but connect back. Let me back up. He bundles a small PHP file to use on the server side, but really you could use anything on the server side. This is front end JavaScript yeah. stuff. So just a couple of screens worth of code here, but in the spirit of chat, which we're doing right now and which we talked about earlier in the podcast, this I thought was one worth mentioning. Andy's from Cuba.
Yeah, actually, Dixie has been publishing quite a lot of packages. He arrived to the site just recently, probably attracted with this new initiative of the Innovation Award Challenge, and which will award a symbolic prize to the first top contributors that's in more notable packages is, and is currently is leading that rank, and he submitted several packages that are most of them very simple but useful and for many purposes. So kudos to Dixon for his contributions. I hope he continues to send even more. And but other than that, which other components would
well,
you like to mention?
The other question that I have for you is, are you still seeing my screen shared? Because I stopped it.
Yeah, no, it just stopped now. But,
is it showing a picture? Oh, there we go. I'm back. Perhaps you see. I couldn't see myself.
Yeah.
I was static. Now I'm me. Hello. The next one that to review what we talked about before is a whiteboard from Artur's. I will try to share my screen again and demo a little bit of this.
And pray for it to not crash.
Yes, yes, yes. This object lets users lets a user draw freehand graphics on a page. I'm going to tempt fate here and go into. Oh goodness, was it whiteboard? I had the actual code up. Oh yeah, I was clever and I just called it WB.
Yeah, but there is a link on the related link section that shows that goes to a demo page of that.
When possible, I like to run stuff when I can, and I had this one down from the other day. So I can turn my draw on, and I can draw. I can say draw off, and now my mousing is back to where it was, or that old mode. If I draw on and change the style, change style again, I think that's changing colors. No, not quite. Oh, the style is it's very... Yeah, look at how great my drawing is.
Ah.
Oh, isn't that sweet? But we can clear it out, too. He's built a clear thing. Isn't that great?
This is the love moment of the podcast.
Oh, now you stop. Now, don't go telling everybody. I'm not actually sure in North Carolina that's allowed anymore. That said, that was an interesting one to me, too. Archer's, as many people know, rather listen and watch the podcast for a while, he's been very prolific over the past year or so with JS classes. And that's, in terms of looking at the code, it's a very nice, clean way of saying how do you interact with the canvas. It's doing a canvas overlay on a regular screen. So
right.
I thought those were worth mentioning this month.
Yes. Just
cheers.
Just opening a bracket, not to the mission. Artists actually have been pushing a lot help in making the site better, not just with these contributions, but other. With suggestions to improve the site, we added him in the latest episode just to talk about the Innovation Award Challenge. But other than that, he has been helping and on testing this feature of the social networks. And the one upcoming feature, I don't know if I could call it a feature because probably it would be an understatement, which will be something that has been planned for many years and it's now... time to implement it, which is basically a unified reputation system that will grant privileges to authors that submit more and better contributions. It's probably similar to what you have seen in many other sites that where you are assigned points to each action you do, that you do, and then depending on how many points you accumulate, you will be able to have access to additional privileges in the site. Well, this is nothing new in the internet, but it was about time that for the JS classes and also PHP classes site to have this kind of system that will hopefully encourage authors to contribute more and submit better contributions. And I just mentioned this just to give props to Artur's because, as I mentioned, not only contributed many classes, but also has been helping also defining those privileges and the actions that will be considered in the that system. But I'll get back to that more later, probably in a few months, and that is ready to at least show something. And on my part, I also would like to comment on a couple of classes from authors that have been just arrived to the site. One of them is Gabor Martini from Hungary, and he has submitted a component that is not usual. It's basically a JavaScript component to manage a chess board. Basically, what it does, it lets it allows to render a chess board on the a web page. But more than that, it also manages the gameplay, the coordinates of the pieces, and the tracking of the moves throughout the game. The only thing that it does not do is to actually play for one computer player, so the user could play against the machine. But that was probably a topic for an additional component that somebody else can use. I think at least in this case you can play human versus human. And if you enjoy chess, probably you appreciate this game. Even if you do not enjoy chess, probably can learn from how you can implement a board game using JavaScript components.
So I have a suggestion for him. The next version, Gabor, should be Battle Chess. I'm dating myself by saying that, but that was where all the pieces were animated and they would fight with each other. So if he can bundle all that together in his next version, I'm not sure what I would do, but my hat would certainly be off to him if I wore a hat.
Yeah, that probably be cool. I remember many years ago, I don't know if you, I think you mentioned you had an Amiga computer in the past.
Oh, yeah.
There is a chess game. This is in the 90s. There's a chess game that will actually do that.
That's it. That's Battle Chess. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to remember the name.
Battle
Chess. Yes, that would be cool because I've seen it on an Amiga computer, and it would be better to see that on a web page. And well, the idea is given. Let's see if Gabor or somebody else would like to pick up on that.
Yes, I will buy a hat and then take it off to them. Pardon?
Yes,
I will.
Okay. And the other package that I wanted to mention is from Filippo Tomassini. He has been a regular contributor of the PHP classes site, and just arrived to JS classes site. He's from Mexico, and he has been developing a very complex framework, and I think this is just a part of the whole framework that includes both browser side and client side components. And this package is quite complex, provides components for all sorts of purposes. It's a full, I don't know if you can call it a full stack framework for a JavaScript framework.
I will. I can. I'm going to call it. It's a full stack framework.
Okay.
I just did it.
That's done. But basically, he just submitted it as a framework for building single-page applications. We commented about single-page applications in a past episode, and this framework helps doing that. And to take advantage of this framework, you probably need to spend a good time studying the documentation because it's quite extensive. What it does, it can not only render complex user interfaces that act as if it is a whole application that works on a single page. It can handle everything else like events, AJAX requests, even playing sound, which is something that is not usual on JavaScript applications, but we have seen some components to do that. So kudos for Philip for this contribution. I hope he can continue with more components of this level that are not basically just a few classes. It's a whole framework. And with that, I think we have ended this part of the of the podcast, and we are going now to move on to the next section, which on which Michael comments on the upcoming issue of the Jazz Mag magazine.
Hey, can I? Am I ever? I can't tell if I'm ever big on the screen or not. Ever? Maybe I should make you big again.
Yeah, your mouth is just covered by the special K label.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's the way it should be. We've got a few things coming up. It's still, even though it's just a few days before, we're always in a constant state of flux and never know quite what's going to come out. But we actually have a lot of things on deck this month. We have a piece from Trevor Ward, who joined us a couple months ago. He's got a piece on titanium and using titanium accelerator. Accelerators titanium with CommonJS. We've got Mike Schwartz, I think, will have another piece in his SilkJS server-side framework development series. We've got a piece from Robert Fisher, who joined us many, many moons ago. I think he was in JS Mag 1 a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, about his jQuery periodical updater. And periodical updater was a basically a polling mechanism that was built into Prototype many moons ago, and he took the core of that and ported it over to work with jQuery's conventions. So he's written up why he did that, how that works, what the differences are, and so on. We have another piece from Janine Meyer, Dr. Janine Meyer, I should say, on mobile geolocation, and I should say geolocation in the browser and using local storage and combining those. We may have a couple other things, too, but stay tuned. That should be out next week, first week of July 2012.
Yeah. Well, looks cool, as usual. Great topics to be covered. I just want to ask a brief question. You mentioned titanium applications with CommonJS. What actually implements CommonJS? Is something that is some framework that is provided, or it could be based on Node.js or something else?
CommonJS is an API that fills in some things that most applications need, sort of like a similar standard library that other like Java, well, maybe not Java, but Python and Ruby and so on have. And to be honest, I'm still getting my head around what that means, CommonJS in general. So I have yet to read the piece in its entirety. The editors have done that and have said, yes, let's go with it. But I'm actually a little in the dark about what the implication for that would be. Other than having done some titanium work myself, that was a couple of years ago, probably a year and a half ago, I am going to presume that it is using CommonJS, some implementation of CommonJS, and filling in some gaps. But I'm admitting a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Ignorance. And that's the word I'm looking for, ignorance on that.
Just you have to buy your own magazine to learn more.
Well, I do get it for free, but I actually one of the things is I have to rely on the team of we've got a couple of good editors and production people, because I wouldn't be able to do it all myself. Just not on a timely basis. So sometimes I don't get to read things until very, very late in the game.
Yeah, well, anyway, it looks interesting. Anybody that is looking out to be up to date with interesting technologies, frameworks, and so on, should go to jsmag.com and
please
and
or yeah, reach out if you're interested in contributing or writing. You can reach out to me, Michael at jsmag.com, and we can get the ball rolling. If you have some topic that you were thinking of, I might blog about this, or I'd like to research this a little bit more, and work with us, and we will help you get the piece written. We've got a team of editors that take your ideas and help whip them into shape, and we pay you for it too.
Right, that's great. Well, with this, we practically ended our podcast. It was a bit tough to record it in a single strike, but I think we covered several interesting topics, and I'd just like to finish with a comment on something that I mentioned before regarding the upcoming features of JS classes, which are also the upcoming features of PHP classes site. There was an article that was published just a few days ago, because the PHP classes site just reached 13 years of age. It's now a teenager.
Congratulations.
I forgot to pick the cake effect. I'll not try it or else my browser may crash.
Yeah, you're going to crash. Don't do that.
Anyway, I'll mention I'll put a link on the show notes of this podcast for those that would like to learn more about things that have been done lately and what is coming up, because since both sites share the same code base, all the upcoming features will be common. So on that note, I'd like to thank everybody that has been watching. Feel free to comment on the topics that we have covered. Eventually suggest more topics that you'd like to see covered in the future episodes. So on my part, that is all for now. Bye.
Nanu nanu.
What language is that? Okay.
That's an orc.
I'm so off. Okay, I think I need to get more up to date with your gang.
Yeah.
Well, that's all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.